Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Eating Disorder. I'm Paul Gerard. Please welcome my co-host, Crazy Legs Conti.
Honored to be here.
And the Reverend Spiro.
What's up?
How you guys doing?
I'm shocked, and I can't get away from this. Before we got on today, not only did my two co-hosts and our producer tell me that they all went to see Katy Perry last night.
Friday night.
Best night to see her.
Last Friday night.
Completely shocked by this.
I transitioned. It was my guilty pleasure, and then I just became a full-blown Katy cat, or whatever it's called.
Well, I felt pretty good about it, because I like to tell people that, you know, like, yeah, I went to see her, but, you know, I got comped. Yeah. It was comped, dude, you know. Crazy Legs went by himself.
By myself. Surrounded. I saw more wedgies than I did at summer camp at, like, 12 years of
teeny
summer
bopper
camp.
Bopper wedgies.
It was all, like, little girls, their moms, and then me with, like, a double doers on the rocks in section 2. 207, you know, and I'm the guy complaining. I'm like, wow, look at the terrible players that the Nets retired. Like, and people are like, what are you talking about? I'm like, all right, I'm ready for Peacock. Firework. I'm going off when firework happens.
It was pretty awesome. And then today I went roller skating.
Wow. Oh, hey, all right.
I like roller skating.
Yeah, I went roller skating in Prospect Park.
That's cool.
So I was getting my whole bubble gum thing going.
You're doing the in blade or the four on the floor?
I want the four on the floor, man.
You want the four on the floor?
Old school. Nice. Old school. I have my little, my satin shorts.
Oh, nice. Really?
Yeah. My half shirt. I have a half shirt that says Brooklyn.
With a big collar tied in the middle.
Exactly. <you know>? perfect segue into our episode tonight of edibles. Marijuana edibles. We're going to be talking about that. But you just crazy legs. You just did a competition, an eating competition.
Last night I was at Tioga Downs Racetrack and Casino in upstate New York. Lupo's third generation family. The grandfather came from Italy, and there's an Italian sandwich called a Speedy, spelled Speedie. They do it with lamb and pork. We had chicken. They're kind of chicken kebabs. Half pound sandwiches, very dense, chewy, delicious, but hard in competition. I drove up with Eric Badlands Booker, 400 pound conductor for the MTA, and a guy named Marcus Owens, who's a MAA fighter, but falls off his diet. And it took us like 3 hours to get there. It took us 6 hours to get back. I got back at 4 a.m. I kept falling asleep and waking up, and we were in parking lots of 7-Elevens, gas stations, every half hour. And every time we stopped, they would come to the car. I was sitting in the back seat. There were 3 dozen Dunkin' Donuts cases. They'd gone to get, like, coffee or hot water for the contest, and they couldn't work out the price. So they were just like, all right, just give us 3 dozen donuts and a couple boxes of munchies. At one point, somewhere around 2 a.m., I woke up, and Marcus offered me something that looked radioactive. I said, no, I'm going to stick to human food. He said, this is a stuffed Dorito. It was a Dorito that they had inflated and stuffed with Cheese Whiz. And
you can't go wrong there.
And I just thought,
sorry, I don't
it
see
seemed
where the
like
problem is.
It seemed like the road from upstate New York back to New York City is littered with what would be the ultimate stoner road trip. Things that have been deep fried, Tostito, I don't even know what they were. Somebody took a hot dog and an egg roll and caused a collision between the two. And Marcus was like, you really should try this. And I said, no.
That's the genius of cuisine that is
And this is
rampant.
What you guys do after you competitively eat.
Unfortunately, yes. I stuck to mostly beverages. But these guys seemed intent upon finding the strangest non-extraterrestrial foods.
It does sound pretty strange that like an MMA fighter is sitting next to a 400-pound guy, and he's like, "I want that physique."
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah, there's a fine line. There's a tipping point.
How can I get to look like you?
Just keep eating those inflatable Doritos, and you'll get there.
Yeah, his mixed martial art is sumo. You know?
Yes. But the thing about stoner food, and this is maybe an announcement for you guys, is I have dreadlocks. I've had them for 15 years. I look like a cross between like Grizzly Adams and a late Orson Welles. So a lot of times people ask me like, you know, "Hey, you got any pot?"
It's not bros, but it's just bud.
Yeah. Bud. And I have never smoked marijuana.
Really?
I have never
smoked
pot.
Shit.
Wait, you chase fish around the country?
Yeah, I like fish. I saw them three nights at Randall's Island.
And you don't
smoke
weed?
On beer, whiskey, and cigars. No, that's the thing. My mom has smoked more weed than I have by a long shot. She used to be William Burroughs typist.
Really?
She couldn't. She hated the smell of hash, so she left Paris. A lot of people can't believe it. When I was in college, I was in a frat, and every Sunday I would go to Sideshow Paul Ferrari's room. These were supposed to be intelligent Johns Hopkins students. They wanted to figure out new ways to smoke pot, and I would sit there, and I was really into toast. So I had a quadruple toaster. You could make four slices at once, and I would eat two or three loaves of toasted bread, watching these guys like try to do ice and bubbles and tubes and things. And obviously, I've gotten contact highs over the time.
Right.
But people are always amazed that
I'm amazed. I'm definitely amazed.
I just tell them I look like I've done a lot of heavy drugs, but.
We learn something about each other every day. We got two guys who don't smoke pot anymore, and one guy who we thought was the guy who doesn't smoke pot at all.
I know.
It's amazing because I'm not very anonymous about my my non-use of drugs and alcohol, but I heard a story once of this guy who I knew in the rooms. He had over 20 years sober, and he relapsed when he saw Zima.
He
was just so amazed. He was like, "What is that? I have to taste it."
Right.
And he cracked one day after 20-something years sober, and he drank about half the bottle, and he was like, "What the fuck is this shit?"
Yeah.
He said, "Give me a scotch," and he was out for another 9 years.
Wow.
But I look at some of these edibles that are out there now, and it's pretty tempting, you know,
there was a point in my life where I got into the situation with pot where I actually developed this allergic reaction. I had a spontaneous, you know, outbreak of Down syndrome every time I smoked. I mean, literally, one second I was fine, the next second I was like Corky from Life Goes On. I mean, it happened. It really did. I mean, during and in the deepness of my drug, you know, debacle, you know, I literally got to this point where after a certain age, I feel like pot isn't like, "Oh, I'm going to draw and I'm going to write some music and I'm going to jam." It's just like, "I'm going to sit."
It's not even a gateway drug. It's like, "Where's the door, dude?"
But I got coworkers who have become, I shouldn't say coworkers. I've got, I don't have any coworkers.
Are they co-slouchers?
You hang out with Corky.
I've got people I know, okay, that have gotten into, the science of it. Like the whole cannabinoid thing about it.
You know, I just like that word, cannabinoid.
It's a great word. But different levels of burning it, where one is more pain reduction, one is more stress reduction, different ways of making it, the whole wax thing that all these kids are doing. They're making wax, which to me, I'm like, "Isn't that hash?" It's like, "No, it's much more cleaner," and blah, blah, blah.
What's amazing, you know, I haven't smoked weed in years, and just going down the street and getting a whiff of some of the stuff that's around now,
it's
a hell of a lot more potent than anything else that we've ever bought in a nickel bag off of Third Avenue. You know,
remember
shake.
A lid.
Slunky Studios,
yeah.
So one of the things I found very interesting is that it's predicted that Colorado will take in $40 million in tax revenue from medical marijuana in 2014. Is that pretty amazing or what?
Wow, that's
pretty
good. Awesome. That's a good take.
And crime is down.
Crime is down.
Yes, true.
One of the very cool things about it is that the voters of Colorado have determined that the first $40 million should be spent on schools.
No.
Liz, do you have that clip, that expose about the...
"Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you are doing?"
"Learning about Cuba, having some food."
"Mr. Spicoli, you're on dangerous ground here. You're causing a major disturbance on my time."
"You know, I've been thinking about this, Mr. Hand. If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time? Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Learning about Cuba, eating some food.
All I need is some tasty waves, cool I'm fine. It's amazing that Spicoli, I mean, you see him fighting for Haiti and fighting for so many, and he's just come so far, you know.
Right, should have been learning about Haiti.
Exactly. If only you'd known then.
High Times magazine said that eating pot products is a way to escape the stigmas and various stoner stereotypes that have surrounded the lovers of the leaf for decades.
You know, the thing about this whole thing is one of the things I always want. I would love to make an after-school special about, like, the edible, you know, cannabis situation where it starts, like, you know, Johnny, you know, decided to spice up his cookie bake with some cannabis-infused, you know, oils or whatever.
I only remember the after-school special with the kid that wet the bed.
Well, no, but the that was a good one.
I saw that.
But no, but the whole thing is then he goes through and he's making donuts, then he's making, you know, breads and pizzas, then he's like, you know...
It's a culinary gateway.
Yeah, and he's making... And then he's making a, what do you call a
foams.
Yeah, and then at the end, you know, it's like... Johnny didn't realize his downward spiral would get him to be a baker.
Yes. You know, it's like, now employed at the Dominic Ancel Bakery.
Well, it has piqued the interest of the culinary community, and cannabis classes are popping up all over the country, instructing potential cannabis chefs how to prepare a variety of marijuana-infused menu items. And our guest today is Chef Peyton Curry of Scottsdale, Arizona. Chef Curry, he owns the Brat House, and he's a graduate of the Culinary Institute of America. Turned his talents toward helping the medical marijuana patients learn how to prepare their own treatments, crafting tinctures, salves, skin creams, and smoothies. Is that me turning into Darth Vader? Do you guys hear that, or is that just my headphones? Did you guys spike my water?
You're drinking bong water.
I think it's our guest coming into the actual broadcast.
Okay. I started going, Paul, who is your father? I am your father. So Chef Curry is a modern-day apothecary combining his talent for cooking with a desire to teach people about the benefits of medical marijuana. Peyton, are you there with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Peyton, I want to do a shout-out to all our Arizona fans. You know, Bill.
Wait.
I used to live in Arizona for a while. I love it out there. I used to live in Tempe.
I was reading Peyton's bio, and it said that he worked at the Four Seasons in Singapore and traveled extensively through Asia. And I thought, you know, oh, that must be where he found his love for marijuana. And then I was like, wait a minute, he's from Arizona. He didn't have to go further than the 7-Eleven. How's it going, Peyton?
I'm doing well, man. Doing very well. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. I don't know if you heard that we are not imbibing, so it's a little strange that we're doing this show, but we are very interested to see if the grass is greener on the other side.
Oh.
I just can't hear.
I always tell people to promote a higher education.
Oh.
There you go. So what got you into this? So a lot of this stuff, it's not just about getting high, right?
No, not at all. I'm a cook. I'm a guy that's from Minnesota originally, and you know, for me, man, it's not about making chocolate brownies and the world's strongest, you know, cookies. It's about helping people and making things that are good for them.
See, I always thought, like, if you weren't doing it to getting high, you were doing it wrong. But that's probably why I'm not allowed to do it anymore.
that's probably correct.
So what are some of your favorites? Get us going on that.
We do a Green Monster, a smoothie, and this is for people that are cancer patients or people that have children with epilepsy, and that's the thing, you know. I wouldn't roll a joint for a 9-year-old in Mesa, you know.
Right.
It's not about that. It's about the healthy side of it and providing alternatives to big corporate medicine. We see what happens with big corporations that take over farming, which turns, you know, farmland into shit. And then we see what happens when people go on prescription painkillers and can never come off.
Yep.
So it's about providing, you know, you talk about the different styles of cannabis, you know, the hash oils, the tinctures, the things of that nature. You know, what we're doing is we're making medicine without corn syrup.
What is the form that goes into the Green Monster, into the smoothie? What's the you go from a leaf to?
Yeah, you get the leaf from the post-vegetative state, so it's high in CBD, very low in THC at this point, and then you puree that with turmeric and sweet potatoes and kale off the farm, and it doesn't get you high. It just it keeps you going. It keeps you, I guess, active for some people that have stomach pain. Helps adjust pH of their stomach, which is good.
Well, I got a question for you, because I saw, you know, in some other article that you were involved in, there was something about pork fat and a potluck. Now, see, the first thing I thought about, I was like, wait a minute. I can buy my girlfriend something that makes her smell like bacon and is covered in pot. And I was like, Judy McGuire, shout out to you. You know, you're not getting tuberose anymore. You're getting pork fat lotion, and which is hot for me. All right,
it's actually it's a lotion. It's not ingested.
No, it's a lotion. And now does the lotion actually get into your pores? I mean, the
THC there's osmosis, and it goes through.
I mean, it's not going to make your dick any higher.
That's why I always.
No, you don't understand how bacon
I cool it down
me.
With the green smoothie. Yeah. That's usually what I do.
Right,
it's
right.
The pork fat
but
that
what this is it's made out of local grass-fed pork fat, fresh turmeric, which is very, very commonly used, and then cannabis. And what this is it's a lotion that doesn't contain any petroleum. And it also promotes cell growth through proper amino acids, restructure, and proper protein.
Have you ever used the term pharma to table?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's awesome. Yeah. But only if you have the right chronic illness, right?
Ah.
Well, and that's one of the things I get concerned about with this kind of stuff is that I understand pain. I understand physical stress. I understand all that. It's when it starts to become about psychological stress or you know, anxiety and all that kind of stuff, because we're, as you said, we're already overprescribed. We're a country of overprescribed
right.
people. So, you know, I remember all my friends when the medical marijuana thing happened in California, all of a sudden developed a million, you know,
ailments
that I had no clue they had that were anything different than I had. I'm like, oh, your job sucks and you're stressed. Me too. You know, but I mean, do you think that could be a danger from that standpoint?
I don't think so at all. I think, you know, prescriptions you can get faster than you can get cannabis legally.
Which is true. You're right.
You know, I mean, I could go to the doctor right now and fake a sprained ankle and walk out of there with Vicodin or Oxycontin or whatever. You know, and something like cannabis, I mean, it's a vegetable, and we've always been told to eat our vegetables, so.
How much of it is being abused, though? Because more than we're an overprescribed country, we're an over-self-medicated country.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be food or drugs or alcohol or whatever it is, it gets us out of ourselves. How much of this is actually being abused?
I would hope a lot more of cannabis is being abused than the alcohol abuse that I see around.
That's
you know,
a great
I
point.
Think I think our alcohol consumption as a nation is disgusting, and I think, you know, if we get more people on cannabis, maybe we'll have a little happier of a nation.
Oh, I would agree to that. I've never thrown a chair through a window after smoking a joint.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the same thing. It's like, even look, I know cigarettes are a horrible thing, but at the end of the day, what happens with cigarettes, people are always about, like, oh, secondhand smoke. I'm like, what about secondhand alcoholism? I've never run over a family of three while under the influence of tobacco. You know? So, I mean,
right.
And again, it's a terrible thing. I hate that I smoke. I want to quit. But at the same time, we don't value everything the same way. The alcohol industry has seriously somehow been able to get away from where everything else has scrutiny.
Right. That's correct.
Do we have the same, or do you guys have the same kind of lobbying going on that that alcohol has? Is it gonna sweep through the country?
I think so, man. You know, I think you know, for me, I receive a lot of support here in Arizona. I've done cooking classes for politicians who have children that have seizures that want to get their kids healthy, and I've also had my extremely religious grandfather call me and asked me to send him some of the salve because my grandmother's had skin cancer and is now using it on her arms with just awesome dramatic results.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you can look at it as an illicit drug, or you can look at it as the only way America will dig itself out of debt is through cannabis and hemp.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick station identification break, and then we want to come back and we're going to talk about the economics and the culinary side of this. Just hang tight for a minute. Yeah.
You're listening to Sleepies, seriously. Since 2001, Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods, guaranteed to produce the very best tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Red Wattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
Hey, I'm Michael Harlan Turkell, host of The Food Scene. Do you love us? Do you really? Do you count on us for real food news and content? Well, we need your help. HeritageRadioNetwork.org is a nonprofit organization, which means we depend on underwriting, grants, and the support of members like you to keep broadcasting. Help keep our voice alive. Visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org and click the donate button today. We promise to never stop in our mission to create a world that's more sustainable, equitable, and delicious by expanding the way eaters think about food. Thanks for listening, and thanks for showing your support.
Hi, I'm Reggie Watts, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
I think I'm having an overdose at school with my wife.
Overdose of what?
Marijuana. But I don't know if it had something in it. Can you please send rescue?
Did you guys have fever or anything?
No, I think we're dying.
Okay, how much did you guys have?
I don't know. We made brownies, and I think we're dead. Time is going by really, 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 really slow.
Welcome back. I'm sure everybody's heard that 911 call from a police. Where was that guy from, Spiro?
I can't remember, but what I love about the part where he goes, everything's going by really, really, really slow. He didn't, but I do know this, he did not get convicted, but he was forced to resign, which I still think is kind of bullshit. It's like, look, you know, honestly, in many jobs, people do drugs and they get sent to rehab, including cops. Mm-hmm. They do, and they get sent to rehab. This guy, due to his own stupidity, became a martyr for this. But at the end of the day, his biggest mistake was calling for help. The fact that the media picked up on it is bullshit.
Well, yeah,
but that brings up
a good point about the. The quantities and the portioning. I love this. There's a quote from the GM, Bridget Connery of Champlain Valley Dispensary in Vermont. They create a lot of different edibles. And her quote is that, we always come from the perspective of, like, who eats a quarter of a cookie, man? Like, this was actually in print. I love that.
What about Maureen Dowd? I mean, what about her? New York Times, the pinnacle of our editorial skills in America, New York Times, Maureen Dowd, eats way too much of this fucking, you know, edible, right? And then gets into this whole thing like, oh my God, I'm having a paranoid and whatever. It's like, that's like me taking a bottle of vodka, right? Drinking half and going, oh my God, things are happening.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like you didn't, the New York Times didn't research, and she didn't even read how much she was supposed to eat. She didn't. She ate way more than she was supposed to. On the damn package, it said, eat this much.
So, did you just say a woman ate more of a cookie than she was supposed to?
The cookie contained drugs.
The bit of the story that contained cookie and woman. Like, cookies don't make it out alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And if they were made by Snackwell, she would have ate twice as much. So, Peyton, how do you control that? How are they regulating this?
We use a company called Arizona Med Testing, and then also like at my restaurants, I go right to the farm for my greens. So it's not like I'm buying a dime bag from the guy in the back of 7-Eleven. You know.
So you.
I mean, I go right to the farms. I go once we get the cannabis, we have the oils or the honeys or whatever made, and then we get them tested.
It's pretty amazing. So, how did you get started in this? What got you going on this?
I used to drink quite a bit, man, to be honest. And I'm in the restaurant business. And, you know, you can get anything at any hour of the day. You can get a woman's cookie or whatever you were just talking about. You can get whatever you want.
You mean that literally, like, metaphorically speaking?
Right.
Well, that's
either way you look at
you
it.
Gotta flip her over and get the brownie. County for that, you know?
Yeah, I've heard that in the restaurant business that you can get some illicit substances in any hour, which is why I don't drink or do drugs anymore myself, because I started in the restaurant business at 13 years old and it was like fucking being welcome to Oz.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I got into it, man, because I had a friend that passed away about 7 years ago of cancer. She lives in Rochester, Minnesota, where the Mayo Clinic was founded, and they couldn't do anything for her. So I started looking into alternative medications and making different things instead of just putting on your body what Johnson and Little Johnson tell you to do. You know, I started looking around and seeing what was out there, and there wasn't a lot of information out there, but I had a great graduation about 4 years before that, so about 12 years ago from the CIA in New York. You know, I called them to tell them what I'm up to, and they're like, and who are you? So
wait, you got
the guy calling, yeah.
You got the CIA involved in this, the Culinary Institute of America.
Yeah, that's where I went to school, and, you know, they taught me what to do with fats and lipids and proteins, and I just added the missing link, you know.
Sorry to interrupt you. There's a Mary Roach book called Gulp, where she goes to, in New York, what would be considered an illegal, illicit underground dinner, where a chef has prepared all the dishes with, you know, marijuana or cannabis in some form. Mm-hmm. And have you done that as well? What's been the height of culinary expertise that you've accomplished? Maybe more for enjoyment for others, but some of the dishes maybe you've made.
You know, we make a thing called pasta. It's like pasta with local grains, local cannabis. We make a really good batch of Mary's Nera, which is marinara with cannabis. You know, you can do many different things with it, but doing the dinner parties and doing things where people come and sit and enjoy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a local hotel here in Scottsdale that, for the right amount of money and the right person, if you know him, you can rent out a kitchen and you can rent out multiple rooms, and then you can do your dinner in a dining room there. No one even knows. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, quite expensive.
I got a question about that, but go ahead.
Yeah.
The thing is, one of the things that actually turned me off of cannabis-based ties was the munchies. And honestly, look, I'm getting a little overweight. I mean, if I keep going the way I'm going, then my blood type's going to be like marinara itself.
Yeah, it's kind of like Ouroboros. It's like eating its own tail.
Exactly.
No, these meals are both causing and curing
munchies. It's like being a saltwater drunk. You know, the more you drink, the thirstier you are. I have a friend who always talks about cannabinoids and how different ways to look at them it can change. Can you avoid the munchies somehow? Is there a way to get away from that horrible, which I
but
never
I would think,
liked?
I would think that's a side effect that you would want for cancer patients.
Not for me, though.
Correct.
Like, look at it from the standpoint of, like, say I'm taking it for stress. Mm-hmm. All right, say I'm taking it for pain. I don't want that side effect. I hate it, actually. You know, so is there
a
way to avoid that?
You would go a sativa-based strain of cannabis.
Oh.
It's a very active form of cannabis. It's one of the strains that we use in the morning smoothies, and we'll make cannabis, like kale chips, but out of cannabis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was in my heyday and drinking and eating my face off and doing all that, I was 300 pounds, and now today I'm about 185.
Wow.
And I use cannabis every day. Huh. So
Spyro's searching his pockets for the receipt for the aerosol cheese he bought last night at the grocery store.
Yeah, no, I looked at it and said, easy cheese. Oh, I was thinking about the show.
I was looking at the menu on your website for your restaurant, but you don't list any of those things on the website.
Correct.
Is it not legal?
We would be thrown in jail, and our liquor license would be revoked if we were to serve any of that at the restaurant.
Okay, I got you.
Hey, question, at the restaurant, but not at the restaurant, have you ever, like, experimented with, like, meat-based products, like a potwurst?
You know? Yeah. 'Cause, I mean, yes.
Yeah.
We make pot pies that'll change your life.
Mm. Pot pies, there you go.
Yeah.
So what would you recommend for the home cook that wants to start doing this? How do they start? Do they start simply by making butters, or what would you recommend?
You start by going to the Magic Butter website, and you buy that machine that's right there.
Really?
It's something that I swear by it, because it doesn't, you know, it's easier than making coffee and a greater buzz.
Wow.
You know, so you put in the flour material, and then you put in your fat, and then you set it and forget it. And you're not too stoned, so hopefully you don't forget it for too long. But it strains itself, it cleans itself, and it's a perfect machine for somebody at home. And Magic Butter has like three different varieties.
Can I ask about just the hemp standpoint of it? Look, is if there's no pharmaceutical benefit to this from a culinary standpoint, right, is, you know, I forget what it's called, the, you know, the hemp part of it, does that actually have any cooking benefits? I mean, if it's not getting you high, is it still, like, are there dishes you can use, marijuana?
It makes a great substitute for, you know, since 90% of America now has gluten intolerance. You know, everyone that comes into the restaurant asks if there's gluten in it, you know, which is crazy. But hemp, you can make a flour out of hemp that's gluten-free.
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And there's also protein powders that are made out of the hemp stalks that are starting to rival some of the fake shit that's been out there for 15 years. You make paper out of it. It's pretty nice that way. So you can make your own paper, roll it in its own paper.
So, okay, let me take this a step further. What about outside of cannabis? What about opium-based foods or coca leaves or psilocybin or peyote? Is there a place in the culinary spectrum to include, you know, opium? Maybe not. Opium can be really dangerous. But
those things have a place in the culinary spectrum.
Now you're getting into
strict recreational.
Psilocybin, peyote. I mean, they've psilocybin and both psilocybin and peyote have been shown to help people who actually have addiction issues. Both of them have.
But from a culinary standpoint, you're not going to be giving ayahuasca to cancer patients to help them get a meal down.
But you might be giving it to them so that they'll stop drinking. I mean, that's the thing, you know. But I'm asking from the, I want to make a stew, and I don't want to get completely screwed up. And maybe there's a place for some magic mushrooms.
Are you asking for my mushroom tip right now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you have one?
I think he just slipped it to you.
Yeah.
The psilocybin spore is actually shown to help people deal with bipolar disorder, people weaning off of alcohol. Mm-hmm. And the psilocybin has also helped people lose weight, which is strange. And
there
this
he goes, Spiro. He just hit on all three feet.
you make a big pot of stew. It's like celery. You can just start losing while you're eating.
So, Peyton, what would you recommend for people that are trying it at home? You know, you have a lab that is checking out your THC levels. How do people control it so they don't eat too much at home? If they're making their own butters or their cookies or whatever it is, because the wheat is so incredibly strong these days.
It is, and unless you have it tested for the CBD level and the THC level, you'll never know the potency of the end result because you can't do a cross ratio to the yield of when you started. So,
and just to clarify, CBD is cannabinoid, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then you have THC, which is the psychoactive part, which that officer that called and said, I think we're dead, you know, which I think is great. And that idiot from New York Times that went to Colorado that you were talking about, that ate 26 times the amount, you know.
The New York Times. She couldn't have got an intern to do this. Yeah. Like, she had to.
Well,
like,
she wanted to get buzzed.
All right, yeah. But 26 right. times. I mean, no I would, research whatsoever. Correct.
It's like the restaurant critic going and ordering, I think I'll have the left side of the menu. Give me 26 entrees and be like, I was too much food. I can't review this restaurant.
I can't eat another thing.
I had 17 calzones.
I got a question. Go ahead. No, I want to hear what I want. Let's rag on Maureen Dowd some more. Go ahead.
So she was found naked in her room by room service because she had ordered so much food to room service and then got paranoid and she was naked in her room and then they had to come in the door because she ordered all this shit.
Yeah,
fucking douchebag.
Wow.
I can't really say much. I've done that.
We've all been there.
We've all been there.
But you don't work for the New York Times, okay?
No, I never will because I've done that many times. Yeah.
Well, okay, I got one other question in regards to the form of cannabis. Because I posted this picture on our Facebook page, and it was actually this wonderful-looking salad with fresh pot leaves. Okay, and I'm wondering if there's a difference, like, you know, like, I love fresh basil versus dried basil, but I use both. So is there a difference between working with fresh leaves than, you know, creating a bud?
I tried that when I was younger, when I was in my teens, but I kept getting bits of tin foil. Never worked.
So, no, is there good.
You have to decarbonize the pot. So
what
you
does that
have
mean?
To heat it up. To,
oh, I see.
You have to change the structure of the cannabis.
Okay.
And if you don't decarb it, then it won't come out strong and it won't have any of the THC side of it.
I
so
see.
If it's raw, it tastes a lot between basil and thyme, if you will.
But that could be good from a culinary standpoint.
Totally right. Okay. It could be great. And it's also really great for digestion.
Oh.
For people to chew on it. People that have IBS, you know,
it's not the IBS I'm worried about. I'd be worried about INS at this point because from a business owner standpoint, having illegal immigrants picking illegal herbs might not be the best approach.
Peyton, are there any is there any literature you recommend? I read Ryan Ner's Marijuana America, which was a nice kind of introduction to, you know, pot growing farms and transporting it illegally and kind of the world of the gray area in between the legal and illegal. But is there anything anything you like to read or any websites you would tell
us to go
to? Yeah,
there's a great website. It's 420patients.com.
Mm-hmm.
They do a great job. He's a clinical psychologist, has a master's in clinical psych, and the guy's wicked smart, as they say out there for you guys. But
we're from Brooklyn, not Boston.
I'm from Boston. So Margie from Dorchester likes to use the hairspray on a ozone layer. It's crazy.
And for you pot eaters at home, 420 is not the temperature of your oven. You will burn your cookies.
That is correct.
So, Peyton,
420 patients, they take a patient-first approach, which is good.
Okay.
That's fantastic. Peyton, we're going to have to wrap it up right now, but what are some of your words of wisdom or places that people should go, books to read,
anything
websites?
Anything you want to plug?
Just stay off of Wikipedia.
Ah, all right. Good. Good for you. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Tell us about your place, where the website is, where you know how to get there.
Well, you can go to 420patients.com. There's a section on there for the cooking classes.
Okay, cool.
And then you can also follow me on social media. Look for me on Facebook. We do a lot of the promotional stuff through my stuff just because a lot of people out here find it strange what I'm doing. But
you know, you got to be ahead of the curve, I guess.
Oh, the state that Barry Goldwater kind of ruled over finds it weird that you're doing something with pot. Weird. Oh.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
So what's your Twitter handle?
There's so much missionary sex going on out here.
Yeah, no. You know what? Tell Sheriff Joe Arpaio he can go fuck himself. Tell him Spiro said so.
Missionary style. What's your Twitter handle, Peyton?
It's at Peyton Curry.
At Peyton Curry.
All right, cool.
All right, well, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, man.
Time flew, or was it going really slow?
It was going really slow. Time's going really slow, man.
It was fantastic. Thank you so much for all the information.
Freaking
everybody
out, man.
Go and check out Peyton Curry's websites, recipes, and live long and prosper.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Have a good night.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.